Thank you, worship team. That was beautiful. This is what I'm hungry for. Just more of His Spirit in our meetings. Just it felt like such a sense of God's presence and worship. There were times where Hans wasn't even singing and the congregation was just picking up the words. It was just such a sweet sense of God's presence. And I'm hungry for more of this. That's what I want to speak on today. But first, let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this morning. We thank You that Your presence is here. We thank You saying Your word that an angel went before the people and led the way, an angel of the Lord. And it feels like You've done that already this morning through the prayer meeting, through worship. The angel of the Lord's gone ahead and laid the way. And now I pray that as the word is shared, Your words would come through, that You would come and change our hearts. You would not let us leave here different. And we'd just have a greater revelation of who You are. In Your name, amen. Amen. Welcome to the Oxygen guys. Who are the guys here from Oxygen? Welcome. Okay, the two of you. Special welcome then. It's great to have you with us. Before I get into it, I have a question for us, and that question is, why are we here? And I don't mean existentially, like why are we on this planet? I mean, why are we here at church this morning? Or why do people go to church? Or what motivates them? Okay, so a few questions. And maybe you go to church for friendship. Maybe you go to church to see people for fellowship. Maybe you come for good food, good coffee. I know people come for George's humor, that's for sure. Live music. Or if you're kids, because mom and dad said, we're going to church, and that's the end of the story. But the reason we're here at church today is to worship God, is to be in His presence. That is the single reason that we are here, to get to know Him, to get to know Him better, to worship and to love Him. And sometimes I think we can get so carried away with church that we forget that actually that is the point that we're here. It's like if you have a birthday party, and it's a surprise birthday party for someone, and the food is there, and the cake is there, and the guests are there, and everyone's standing around waiting, and the person just never pitches up, and someone says, did you remember to invite the birthday boy or girl? And like, oh, I thought you were, no, okay. And it's lame because that person just never arrives. And that's like it can be in church sometimes, where we just haven't invited God into our times together, into our presence. And we actually see this in the church of Ephesus in Revelation that Jesus addresses, where He said, I'm going to remove your lampstand. And that seems very harsh, and it is harsh. And the church of Ephesus was doing well. He said, I acknowledge all the great things you're doing. But there's the one thing I hold against you, and that's you've lost your first love. You've lost that passion for the Lord and that passion for Jesus. And that church actually did shut down. It's now an archaeological site today, and it's no more. And I feel for us, not a warning, but just an encouragement that we would never lose sight of Jesus, that we would stay focused and true to God's presence. And so I want to look at God's presence today. I want to look at what it is, how we see it in the Old Testament, how we see it in the New Testament, how practically we can get into His presence, and how not to get distracted. But first, I want to start with a confession. It's my confession. It's not someone else's. And it's just something, it wasn't of an intentional sin, but it's something that I felt I'd missed the mark, and God was convicting me in. And this happened a few weeks ago. It's one fateful Saturday, and my Saturday started like any other. I got up, I read the Word, spent time with the Lord. And then I thought, unlike other days, I've got a bit of free time. And so I'm going to catch up on my social media. First mistake, I can tell you that. And so I logged onto Facebook. Now for the Gen Zers here, Facebook is just like TikTok, except with less dancing and more photos of people's food and their pets. The reason I like it is Facebook has birthday reminders. And so I went through and I was like, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. And then I started doom scrolling. Second mistake, and that's where you basically just scroll through all the posts to find something of interest to you. And then something caught my attention, and it was a post that said, true or false, or fact or fiction, did this happen? And it was a post of a post, which often happens, and the original post was of a guy who, it was a real account, and it was a real post of his, and he posted back in the day in high school, and there was a photo of him with a bunch of high school students, and him and his girl sitting in the front of them, and he said, back in the day when I dated this famous celebrity, who's now a very famous actress. And the whole reason of this post was, fact or fiction, did this really happen? Did this guy really date this celebrity back in the day? And so I looked at this and I thought, she looks like it could kind of be her. I'm not convinced. Maybe, might not be. And then I saw there were 4,000 comments to this post. And so I started reading through them. And the evidence was strong on either side. It was a wild debate. I'm telling you, people had gone back and checked his backstory. They'd checked his photos. People had done facial recognition on this lady to see, was this her back in the day? And I'm telling you, I was invested. I was like, I have got to know the truth. And so after about 20, 25 minutes of sitting and reading through all these comments, I felt God saying to me, what are you doing? And I was like, God, you don't understand. Like, I've got to know. Did this guy date this celebrity or not? And then I thought, what am I doing? And I looked out. It was a beautiful sunny day like today. Birds were chirping. I could have been going for a walk. I could have gone to the beach. I could have had breakfast with my family. I could have been doing 100 other things. And yet, I just wasted 25 minutes trying to find out if some random dude had dated some celebrity. And you know, the reality is I could have spent the whole day reading all those comments, and I never would have got to the truth. And as I was preparing for this morning, I was thinking, isn't that how the devil loves to operate with us? We could be doing anything with our time. We could be following God. We could be spending time in his presence, and he comes and distracts us with something. That's not obvious sin, but just takes away from what God wants to do. He did it with Adam and Eve, with the forbidden fruit, where they're living in paradise. They've got God's presence every day. They can name the animals. They can eat whatever they want from any tree. And yet the devil comes and says, let me distract you with this one thing. Eat from this, and you will find knowledge. And they do. And they gave everything up, God's presence, for the distraction the devil presented them. And I feel today to touch on distraction from God's presence as a major strategy that the enemy will use to remove us from what he wants to do. And God's got a plan for us, and the devil's plan is far less complicated. The devil's plan is, I want to get you to do anything other than follow God. That's it, by any means. Because when we're on God's path, we find breakthrough. When we're on God's path, we find joy. We find strength. We find vision. But when we're on the enemy's path, we find death. And so this morning, I want to bring us back to the joy of knowing God's presence, of not getting distracted, of following him and spending time with him. And so I want to start by focusing on him. And I want us to close our eyes together and just to let go of any distractions right now, of anything where the enemy wants to come in and make you worry and carry burdens, and that he would come and just release us now from those things. And finding his presence comes from a deep place of knowing him. And so let's just keep our eyes closed. I just want to read Psalm 139 over us. And just let the Lord minister you as these words are spoken. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Yes, Jesus. Yeah, Lord, we're so settled in your hand. We just want to follow your purposes and your presence in our life. Just help us to let go of any distractions right now that want to come in, even during this message or during this week. Any plans of the enemy, will you come and disrupt those plans so we can just find breakthrough in you, Jesus? Thank you, Lord. And what I love about the scriptures is it's all about God knowing us. And finding God's presence is about relationship. And don't you want to be in the presence of people who know you and love you? And if you want to go see your family or see your friends, you want to be in their presence. It would be a bit weird to go to the Spur or to a restaurant and go up to a total bunch of strangers and sit next to some random person you don't know and close your eyes and be, oh, I just love being in your presence. You are so cool. And the person being, who are you? And we wouldn't do that. But yet, we struggle to relate to God sometimes. Sometimes we treat him like a stranger. And actually, he knows us. He loves us. If you doubt that, go read Psalm 139 again about how much he knows and loves you. And he wants to be in presence with you. And God doesn't change. He's consistent throughout the ages. And so I want to look at scriptures and I want to learn, how did God's presence manifest itself, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and with people in the Old Testament? And I'll start by looking at the story of Moses. God's journey with Moses was an amazing one, all about how God revealed his presence. And I've got another question for us. Moses was obviously back in the Old Testament. Do you think it was easier or harder to be a Christian or to follow God in the Old Testament? I think in some ways, life was harder. You didn't have the creature comforts. You didn't have running water often. You didn't have communication. But I think it was easier to find God's presence because there was less distraction. You could focus on him. If you grew up in those times, I have a slide for it, you either grew up in a tent Or, next one, yeah. Yep, back up. Or you grew up in a clay house built by the Egyptians. Nothing wonderful, nothing special about this. And this was basic, the basic necessities of what you had. And in fact, the Israelites, the slaves, built these houses back in the day. And if you were a child growing up, you probably had one toy, if you're lucky, in your life. And that was probably a carved wooden horse or a boar, and that was it. Nowadays, you give kids a toy. 2 weeks later, they're like, where's your toy? Oh, no, I'm bored of that. I need a new toy. Because we quickly move on. And so it was difficult then, back in the old days. And so from that perspective, I want to look at, well, how did people then find their way to find God's presence? And it started with Moses and him taking the Israelites out of Egypt. Now, Moses grew up in slavery. He was saved by Pharaoh's daughter. He then saw an injustice, and he killed an Egyptian, and then he fled for his life, and he became a shepherd. And that's where God found him, out in the wild, missing his calling, hiding as a shepherd boy. And God spoke to him through a burning bush. And that was the first revelation of God's presence to Moses at that time, was this burning bush to him. And I love the fact that it was God's presence that brought purpose to Moses. And maybe for some of us, we feel sidelined. We feel our lives over. We feel, where can God take us from here? And it's just an encounter with God where he wants to bring his presence. He wants to bring his purpose to us. He wants to bring vision. And all we need to do is be open to it. And then, of course, he asks Moses to come and lead his people out of Egypt and take the Israelites through to the promised land. And that was a heavy task. Moses was nervous, and rightfully so. He had a lot of people to take out of captivity. Does anyone know how many people left Egypt with Moses at the time? 600,000 men, or 2 million people. That is how many people left Egypt with Moses. It's no wonder that he said, Lord, I need your presence to lead me, and we're not going without your presence. I mean, I struggle at times to lead a family of four, so I can't tell you what it would be like to take 2 million people out of Egypt. And each person, I'm telling you, had their own opinion about how things needed to be done. And Moses just needed to find God's presence. And so God had a plan for them, and he had a purpose. And in a way, he made it easy for Moses, because he said, my presence will go with you. And if you look at Exodus 13, verse 21 to 22, it says the following. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. And I have a photo of that. Next slide. And so if you were living in that camp at the time in the desert, and you were staying in your tents, there was a pillar of fire that was there as a reminder of God's presence. And the beautiful part about this, his presence was available day and night, just like with us. You can wake up at 2 a.m., God's there. He doesn't keep normal office hours. It never left them, just like us. His presence never leaves us. They didn't have GPS. They didn't have Google Maps. They relied solely on his presence to take them forward. And all it was about following his presence. The problem is, if you've got 360 degrees in which you can turn around you, and the direction forward was 1 or 2 degrees, that means you've got 358 degrees that you could go in a different direction to what God has. And we could miss it by one degree by not missing his presence. And some scriptures and some commentaries say that the cloud actually offered them cloud and shade during the day, and others that the pillar of fire gave them warmth and light at night. And so his presence also takes care of our needs. And those that left his presence and got distracted and went off wandering on their own would have perished following their own desires in the desert. And so God is leading them, he's giving them his presence, and then Moses is saying he wanted to see God face to face, and he wanted to see his glory. And God said, my glory is so much for you that if you see it, it'll kill you. And Moses actually hid behind the cleft of a rock as God's presence went by, because Moses knew the holiness of the Lord. And then Moses realized, you know what, the people also need to be able to encounter with God. And so Exodus 33, verse 7 to 11, Moses set up something called the tent of meeting. And it says, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses as he entered the tent. And as Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance. And while the Lord spoke with Moses, whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at their entrance. And the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. And I want to say today, you can speak to God as he were a friend to you. Moses had a reverence of him, and he knew how holy he was, but that didn't stop him speaking as a friend. Do we speak to God face to face as friends? But then things started to go a bit wrong. In fact, the journey from Egypt to Canaan should have taken about 2 to 3 weeks. And in fact, it took them 40 years because they got distracted along the way. And God was constantly trying to bring them back and lead them. And so one of the things he did was he took Moses up Mount Sinai and he gave him instructions for how people should be living their lives. And then Moses came back down with 2 tablets. If by tablets you think I mean iPads, maybe you have a problem with digital distraction. But those were the 10 commandments. And when Moses got down to the bottom of the mountain, the people had cast off all restraint. They had melted down all their jewelry, and they had made a gold calf. And they were worshiping this calf. They had broken covenant with God, and they had lost their way. And that was with God's presence there. That was with all the miracles they'd seen leaving Egypt. That was with a tent that they could go and inquire of the Lord and spend time with him. And yet, they'd completely abandoned God. And so if we think that can't happen to us, we're wrong. We can easily get distracted. We can easily lose way and sight of God's presence, start worshiping other things. I can imagine nowadays God looking down at the earth and being, my presence is here. I want to meet with you. I want to spend time with you. And we're busy distracted, doom scrolling on Facebook or whatever it is. And he's saying, I'm here for you. And I feel that this morning he wants to break through the distraction and he wants to break through the things that are holding us back from spending time in his presence so that he can meet with us, so that he can lead us into more. And while he was up on the mountain, God also gave instructions for building the tabernacle, which came up, I think it was last week, and Kinsani brought the word about the tabernacle and the 3 entrances in the tabernacle being the way, the truth, and the life. And the tabernacle was built because the people had lost a sense of the holiness of the Lord. And they were struggling to actually get into his presence. And so God said, I want my presence. The tent of meeting was outside of the camp. He said, I want my presence to be with you in the middle of the camp. And so this was built. And at the tabernacle, there was the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could enter once a year. Then there was the holy place where the Levites could go in. And then the people could actually meet around the tabernacle and make their sacrifices. And it brought something of the holiness of God and his presence back into their midst again. And nowadays, we don't need a tabernacle to meet with God. To go into the Holy of Holies, we can meet with him any time. But we need to retain that reverence. Our presence with God, our time with God and his presence comes out of friendship, but not familiarity. And we need to keep that holiness in our when we meet with him. And so what can we learn from Moses? Well, his presence comes from a place of relationship with him. We learn even back then God's presence was there, but there was a natural tendency to drift away. His presence gives us purpose. And when we're not following his presence, it can take us much longer to reach our destination or not at all. And so with that, I want to look at how do we stop from getting distracted? What practical things can we do? What examples are there in the text of people getting distracted? And so I want to turn to the New Testament, and I want to look at Luke, verse 10. And I'm sure we all know the story about Mary and Martha, but we'll read it again. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her. As I was reading this, there were a few points that I took from it. Number one, we don't know the context here. Was this a prearranged lunch that Martha knew about, that Jesus was going to, or was it spontaneous? Now, we know Jesus was a spontaneous guy. He said to Zacchaeus in the tree, I'm coming to your house for lunch today. Can you imagine if Jesus arrived and said to any one of you, I'm coming to your house today for lunch? How would you feel? Probably a bit stressed or nervous. You're like, oh, did I leave the washing out? Are the sinks, is my sink clean of dirty dishes? And so Martha probably had a natural tendency to be a bit stressed in the situation. And I think it probably was a spontaneous event. But the thing was, when they got there, Mary focused on Jesus. And yet Martha got distracted by everything else. And maybe there was a need for food. Maybe there was a need to clean up. But you know what? We don't need food to meet with Jesus. We don't need our house to be perfectly clean and tidy to meet with Jesus. And Jesus was saying that to Martha. Let go of all those things. You don't need your life to be perfect to meet with him. And it's the same with us. We can meet with Jesus at any time. But sometimes we feel we have to get our life perfect before we can do so. And I think it was also Martha's heart that the Lord was addressing there. He said, you are worried and upset about many things. It wasn't as if she was just chilled and relaxed and including him in the conversation. She was worried and upset and distracting Mary. I remember when this building was just opened and we just bought it, Ryan Kingsley came to preach. And after that, we had a lunch at our place. And Andrew said he came with Ryan. And we had a whole bunch of people come around. And we had made the food beforehand. We cleaned up the house beforehand. So when they got there, we could just enjoy the time together. And I think there's something about when we have cluttered lives and our lives aren't in order, we actually struggle to find ourselves in God's presence. And it would be good to just keep your life in order so that if Jesus is there, you're ready to receive him. And so I want to look at number three. How do we immerse ourselves in God's presence? Life is busy. It's complicated. Sometimes we're stressed. Sometimes we're tired. But his presence has to be a priority for us. His presence comforts us. It changes us. In his presence is fullness of joy. Joey spoke a few weeks ago about friendship with the Lord. What is our relationship like with God in terms of receiving his presence, you know? How do we get to know him better? And for me, spending time in God's presence is like getting into water. When you go for a swim and you're really hot, or if your kids, you don't dip your toe in and now you said, I've swum. You dive in. And it's always that first part that's a bit hard to get in. But once you're in, you just want to spend time in that water until you're old. Your fingers are all wrinkly, and you don't want to get out. And that should be God's presence for us. That once we're in his presence, we don't want to get out until we're old and wrinkly. And we've just been with him. And the difference is when we're underwater, gravity does not have the same effect on us as when we're out of it. The things of the world don't affect us as much as when the water is carrying our weight. And it's the same as with us when we're spending time with him in his presence. It's like the things of the world are still there, but they don't affect you. And we need to let go of those things. And we need to actually just immerse ourselves and spend time in his presence, immersed in him. He's given us the Holy Spirit to make us buoyant. It brings hope and joy. But sometimes we let worries and concerns like a weight belt just drag us down and pull us down. And we need to let go of those things, let go of the distractions, and just spend time in his presence. Like Martha, she missed out on his presence because she allowed the weight of worry to drag her down. And so some practical ways to find his presence. We need to make time. We need to prioritize. Time is valuable. What do we pour it out on? We need to read and meditate on the word. And let it soak into you. Don't just read it and say, I'm done. God, what are you applying to me? What are you saying to me in this? Go for a walk in nature. Go to the beach. Get out of your house. Sometimes your house has too many distractions. I remember when I started working, I was about 22, and I was in sales, and I'd drive around in a hot car, and there was no aircon. And at the beginning of each day, I would get some grapes, and I'd put them in the freezer, and I'd freeze my grapes. And then I'd go to the beach after work, and I couldn't wait to get, and I'd pick up my grapes, and I'd sit on the beach with Unlocking the Bible by David Pawson, and I'd just eat my frozen grapes, enjoy the ocean, and just be in God's presence for 2 or 3 hours. And we may not have the luxury of that time, but do we make time for that type of thing? And it was simple things like those, but it took a little bit of preparation. It took putting the grapes in the fridge beforehand. It took choosing a spot on the beach. But when I was there, it was like being immersed in his presence. We need to look for those opportunities. Just make space to be with him. When I'm doing sermon prep, once I've got the sort of notes of it, I'll go outside in the garden or I'll walk around our block and I won't take my phone, I won't take my notes, I won't take anything. And it'll just be me and the Lord. Just God, what do you want to say through this word? What do you want to say to me? What do you want to do in me? What do you want to do in the people? And those moments are so special. And the temptation is to take my phone and just make a note of this or to write that down, but even that's a distraction. And so I want to say, set aside time, block it out to spend time with them. Put on worship music. It does help you to focus. Just to hear, just to open up your spirit to him. Go to church. Go to community. I grew up in the Anglican church. I was the only one in my family who went to church. It was just me. I think the average age was 80, so it was just me and the grannies. And I'd walk to church on my own, and I'd listen and spend time in the Word, and I would walk back through this forest. And it was just like the quiet of the day. And that walk back from church was one of the best times of my week, of just being in his presence and hearing what he had to say to me. And you know, we don't need our friends here to be a church for us to go. We don't need our friends to be a community. In fact, if you don't have friends at church, don't stop coming. You need to keep coming. My son Liam said something profound the other day when we were talking about church. And he said, you know what, Dad? It's okay that I don't have other boys my age to be in church with me as friends. Because I know that I'm here for God, and that's what's important. And I want to say, well done to my boy. That's a courageous and honorable thing to say. But sometimes we want to isolate from church and from community, and there's something about being in church and being in God's presence that we need as well as on our own. I remember when I first joined the church, one of the biggest times I used to enjoy God's presence was when Andrew preached, and he was talking about Genesis. And it took him 3 weeks to get through two lines of Genesis. And we would just sit, I think it was two or three nights in a row, and he would just let the revelation of God come, and he was just sharing what God spoke to him about how amazing the Lord is. And there was such a presence of the Lord on that. And so I want to say, spend time in church and community and just receive what God has for you. And then, don't get distracted, which came through the prayer meeting. His presence doesn't leave us, but we can leave his presence. And it can be deathly. We're distracted by so many things. As soon as it's Confession Sunday, I have another one for you. When I was studying, I finished my exams, my final project was done, I just had to submit it, and so I had nothing to do all day, and so I remember my flatmate went out, and I decided I'm going to play computer games all day. And I did 8 hours of games. I must say I played Age of Empires. I had my empire, took on like, yeah, thanks Cam, confirmation, eh? There we go. So not completely wasted then. Okay, good. As long as I have your respect. And for 8 hours, I sat, and I can tell you, you'll be glad to know, I was victorious. I took out 7 other empires. And my flatmate left at 8 a.m. He got back at 4, and I was in the same place playing games. And you know what? Can I say honestly that I felt fulfilled, that I felt I had accomplished my life's desires, that I feel invigorated and full of energy and life? I did not. In fact, I felt a bit annoyed he had come back so early to disturb my gaming. And you know what? There's a lie that we need to give ourselves over to the things of the world that will refresh us, that will relax us, and no amount of sowing into those things will ever give you the refreshing and the life that God does. If you're going to watch a series, or if you're going to look at something and you don't have the discipline, set an alarm clock, even if it's half an hour or an hour, and be disciplined about stopping, because we get sucked into this and it's stealing us from God's presence. God has a plan for us. He wants to lead us into more, and it's all about finding his presence. And so I want us to do that this morning, and maybe the worship team can come back up. And I want to read two more scriptures for us. Number one is Psalm 16:11. It says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And you know, sometimes I think that we think we're going to miss out if we deny ourselves the pleasure of the world. Sometimes we think if we don't chase those things that are going to give us life, we're going to miss them. But when you're thinking those thoughts, think of the Israelites in the desert. Think, do you want to be in this place for 40 years? Or do you want to go where God's got you in the next 2 weeks? And I wanted to come and speak to us this morning. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And that is my prayer this morning, that we would have a desire to find him. That we would actually draw the hard lines of letting go of distraction. Because his presence is actually going to bring us joy. It's going to bring us purpose. It's going to bring us life. Do we believe that still? When people say, "Have you spent time in God's presence?" Do we see it as this obligation? or do we see it as this thing that gives us life? And I want to change our perspective this morning that he wants to come and bring us life and give us life. And so I'm going to ask Andy just to share a testimony of how he found God's presence and how it came and just changed his life.
Yeah, so I recently just went through a bit of a challenging season and had to navigate a few things. And it really made me desperate. Like, I would go to the elders and I'd be like, oh man, I'm dealing with this thing and I'm feeling insecure. And they'd give me great advice, but I wouldn't really feel better. I'd still feel very insecure about this thing. And I realized, like, I need to go to Jesus. And I think I realized as well that I didn't really know how that looked like. Like, I'd never really, like, really surrendered and came to him and, like, Lord, I actually can't go away from this place until you come. Like, I'm not going to survive. Like, I need you to come. I need you to help me. And, I mean, it looked so raw. It was, you know, it wasn't like this, I knew what to say to him. It was really like, Lord, my heart is so sore right now. I feel so insecure. Often I'd say the phrase, I'm feeling yucky. Like, Lord, I'm feeling yucky. Like, I'm not feeling great about this thing. And, you know, like, he would really just come, because he is faithful. And he would come and he would like, you know, he'd lick my wounds. He would start by just, like, making me feel, okay, it's going to be okay. And then he would come and he'd identify lies and, he'd deal with the insecurities. And, you know, he would show me how to, like, move away from this place. And then next week again, I'm back there. Oh, Lord, there's something else now. And it's so incredible how he drew me in. He drew me in to really go and, to deal with things, deep insecurities in my heart. And, it's incredible to know that even that verse, there it is. Yeah, like, guys, he's faithful. Like, if you really go to him and you seek him, he is faithful. Like, he wants to deal with your heart. He wants you to come to him. And man, I tell you what, I walked away from that place feeling so secure. There was this, you know, like, the situation itself hadn't changed, but I went from feeling very insecure, like, I'm going to fall, I'm going to hurt myself, to being like, Lord, I don't really know what's going to happen, but I'm really secure in you, Lord. Like, I really am secure in you. Like, no matter what happens, I've got you, and you've got me, and I'm going to be okay. And that was such a revelation. And so thank you for Jesus. So I hope that encourages you.
All right, so I'd love us to just pray together on the back of that. Thank you, Lord, that you never change, you never leave us, even though we get distracted, even if we've missed you every single day this year and we cry out to you this morning, you're immediately there for us, God. You hold us in your hand. You want to come and change us, reveal yourself to us. Bring your presence to us. And maybe before I pray for us as a congregation, I spoke earlier about just God's presence coming through relationship and us having access to his presence. And maybe for some of us here today, we've never had that relationship with the Lord. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it cut us off naturally from God. And then when Jesus came and died on the cross, he made a way again that we don't have to rely on a high priest. Jesus is our high priest. God's presence is available for us to go straight into, and no sin can keep us. And maybe you've let sin keep and stop you from responding to him, and today's the day to respond to Jesus and say, I want to give you my heart today. I want this presence. I want this relationship with you. I want to be known and loved by you. And so if that's you here this morning, and you've never given your heart to Jesus, and you don't have a relationship with God, you don't know what's going to happen one day when you go to eternity, I want to encourage you today to respond and say, I want to give my heart to Jesus. And if that's you today, just with eyes closed and heads bowed, why don't you just slip up your hand so I can see. Do you want to give your life to Jesus? Do you want to respond to the word and have God come and change your life? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Is you and you're too shy to raise your hand, please come chat to me afterwards. We don't miss this moment. of just establishing that relationship between you and the Lord. And for the rest of us, I feel such an opportunity for repentance. I think there are times where we have missed it. I myself, I've already shared this morning how I've missed it. Time to just to come back to the Lord and say, God, I want to follow you. I want to be in your presence. I want to commit to this. But also a chance for the grace to come to spend time with him, that it wouldn't feel so hard. That making time for him would be supernaturally easy for us as we commit to us. Maybe for others, you felt a bit like Moses, who was a shepherd, who went out to the desert, and you've been out in the desert and you're waiting for God to call you back. And maybe today's the day that God says, I've got a plan for you. In spending time with my presence, I've got a plan for you to lead people into freedom. And today that plan starts, and he wants you to respond to that. Ms. Gala, won't you just come share that? Just as Gala shares, just pray into this and see if this applies to you as well.
In worship, I was reminded of one of the churches. Dave spoke about Ephesus, but in Revelations, it's Pergamum. And God said, well done, Pergamum. You've remained true in a city which Satan lives in. You have not renounced your faith in me. But he says, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You've entertained the teachings of Balaam, and you've allowed the teachings of the Nicolaitans. And what I felt the Lord saying is that like we tolerate things, and we allow certain things. We have most of God, but we're allowing just little seeds, little things that are not of God. And the response that Jesus gives is repent, repent. And I think sometimes we think, like, let's not make it a heavy this Sunday, you know. But the reality is, if you've joined yourself to Christ, you've joined yourself to a life of repentance. That is literally what God is calling us to, because we're going from glory to glory to glory. And so every moment is an opportunity to actually say, Lord, what is that little teaching, that little thing of Balaam in my life that I actually want to repent? And you know, the beautiful thing about repentance is what follows is forgiveness. Forgiveness will always follow repentance. And often, you know, there's resistance over repentance, because actually it's not having to repent that's hard. It's the sin that is heavy. It's the sin that is hard. But when you repent, there's this beautiful space of forgiveness. And so I almost feel like none of us are above this morning of anything to actually bring to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, and I want to see your grace flow. And I think if we all have that posture this morning, we will experience the measure of grace, a new measure from the Lord.
Thanks. So let's stand together. And if that's you where you feel you want to repent of maybe just losing sight of God's presence, or like I said, maybe you feel like Moses, where you're just dying for an encounter with him again, just find his purpose for you, or you're just hungry for his presence, then why don't you come forward to the front and let's worship together. Let's just spend time in his presence and trust he will come and